Hi, I'm Valerie, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains. Welcome to The Beauty Brains, a show where real cosmetic chemists answer your beauty product questions and give you an insider's look at the cosmetics industry. This is episode 351. I'm your host, Valerie George, and with me today is Perry Romanowski. Hi, Perry.
Hello, Valerie. Great to see you.
Good to see you. On today's show, we're going to cover beauty trends and our predictions for next year, but we're going to include some questions like, do pharmaceutical grade claims mean anything? If my product smells like stinky feet or cheese, does it still work? Can glycolic acid be used as a deodorant? And do salon hair brands really work better? Which is an interesting question because I got it from someone else today, so I'm excited to answer it. But first, inane chit chat.
Well, not so inane. This is holiday season. I was out holiday shopping today, so...
Shopping for almost... Mrs. Perry?
Yes. Like probably many relationships, she does all the shopping for everybody else, and I just shop for her.
Oh, that's so nice. It's actually the opposite for us. Mr. Cosmetic Chemist is always on my tail, like, what are we doing for your parents? What are we doing for your siblings? Here's what we're doing for my sister. So he's good like that.
Yeah, that's very good. I have no skill in this regard. In fact, to get ideas, I went to ChatGPT and just asked the AI what I should get. I know, it's terrible.
Well, I hope she likes whatever you got her.
Oh, she will. Yeah. I'm not as bad as I'm coming off here, but I do like the assist, you know?
Yeah. Well, I enjoy shopping and picking out things thoughtfully or even making things for other people, but just been really busy this year with the move. I usually make a bunch of stuff, and unfortunately, that's not getting to happen, so...
Well, you know what I find very difficult, especially this phase of my life, is like there's nothing I really want. And my wife, if she wants something, she could just go buy it. So it's like it's hard to get, you know, it's hard. I feel so much pressure because it's that day someone's opening it up. You know, you don't want them to be disappointed or something.
Like the Christmas, my dad got my mom this beautiful leather coat, but she was searching all the pockets for the diamond earrings she really wanted.
Oh,
and they weren't in there. I'll never forget that Christmas. Well, I've told you about Stash the cat, but we have a few new kitties.
Oh, yes, your alley cat, right?
Yeah, we have a few new kitties hanging around the lab. It turns out Stash really loves men. If I'm there, he'll just, you know, kind of look at me from a distance. But if a man shows up, he prances over, what are you doing? What's going on? He just loves the males. But I have Misty and Patches who love women and they don't like men. So I have two kitties.
There you go. Wow. Like, how old do you think these kittens are?
Oh, they're less than a year old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty small. Yeah. And Patches had a little hurt paw. I think it's just a little, you know, ankle sprain sometimes. They pop a joint the wrong way. Yeah. And we have another cat who, well, Captain is the orange cat, but we have another cat, Mr. Cosmetic Chemist named him Whitey because he has what looks like a white scarf on a black body.
A nice tuxedo cat then.
Yeah. Well, it's a scarfy cat.
Right, right. It's more of a cummerbund than a tuxedo.
It's like the Oliver Twist of tuxedos.
Sure, yes. Well, that's fun. Hopefully you can catch them and get them fixed so you don't have a bigger brood. But now are you putting out food for them?
I do. I have a little bag with me. I don't think they're impressed. It's Iams. But, you know, I'm learning. They have highbrow taste, I guess.
Oh, well, you know.
Beggars can be choosers, it turns out.
My alley cats will eat pretty much anything, as will my house cat. But, you know, my wife gets him the fancy stuff, even though he'll just eat the alley cat food, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do eat it eventually, but they kind of sniff it and look at me and just say, you're cheap.
Yeah, that's what they get.
Well, let's head over to some beauty news.
Speaking of news, we got a little thing from our podcast numbers.
Yeah, we had a really great year. So it turns out, you know, we always like to tell people we're a weekly podcast. It turns out We're more like a bi-weekly podcast.
Right. Bi-weekly, yeah. We try weekly, but we're like travel a bit. Sometimes it's hard to connect because we're not in the same place, and you know.
This year was really tough because I had a lot of international travel, as did you. I had the move, I had the car accident, the bronchitis, all that kind of stuff. So a little rough year, but hopefully we'll be on track for next year. But we'll save our resolutions for the next episode.
Yeah. Wow. You had a lot going on this year, huh? Now, I mean, I just had traveling. I traveled to a bunch of places. Like,
yeah, but that's pretty cool.
It is cool, but nothing, you know. And I travel and I had kittens. And that, I guess that's better than bad stuff happening, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, in addition to our bi-weeklyism, we did have a lot of downloads. Over 627,000 this year alone.
Wow, that's pretty good. And we were heard by people in 179 different countries?
Yes. Do you want to hear the top five of them?
I would, and I will tell you the capital of those countries because I still remember them.
All right, United States.
Oh, of course, Washington, D.C.
United Kingdom.
That's London.
Canada.
Ottawa.
Australia.
Canberra.
And our first non-English speaking as a national language country, Germany.
Germany, capital Berlin. You know, I've been to all of those places.
Oh, wow. Our top cities were New York, Melbourne, Los Angeles, Sydney, and Toronto. And not only that, we were in the top 1% of all podcasts.
Wow, there's a lot of podcasts.
That's pretty cool. I mean, we're probably like at the bottom of the 1%, but we're still in the 1%, right?
And, you know, we also appreciate all of the patrons that we have, and our numbers on Patreon have grown steadily, and they keep us motivated to do the podcast, and so very excited about that. Now, there was also a listing of which are most popular episodes this year.
Episode 327, Salon Hair Care, Cationic Skincare, Collagen Threads, and more.
I'll have to go back and listen to that. Oh, we talked about salon hair care. We're going to talk about that today, too.
It's a favorite topic of mine. Episode 325 was our number two episode, What Makes a Good Hair Mask? K-18 wow. Bond Building, The Olaplex Lawsuit, and more. It was a spicy episode.
That was a little spicy, yeah.
Next came episode 326, Almost a Double, Barbie doll hair, which, by the way, is probably one of my favorite questions from this year. Foundation, yeah. Petrolatum. And finally, our fourth top episode was episode 324, Why Aren't Deodorants Put in Cardboard Packages?
Wow. Yeah, and we had some great responses to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, we are looking forward to having... So we did 28 episodes this year. We're looking forward to at least having 28, you know, hopefully in the 30s next year. I can't promise that we're going to do an episode a week, but certainly every 2 weeks and a little more frequently than that. And we thank everyone who listens, tells other people about the show, and we certainly thank our patrons. And if you want to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/thebeautybrains and subscribe. This year we have added an additional benefit is the transcripts from the show. So we got that. But you know what else we have this year? We always like to look at what the beauty industry is predicting will be the trends, upcoming trends for the new year. And I saw this article in Cosmetics Design, and they had a number of things that they think are going to be that consumers can expect in 2024. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. And then maybe we'll make our own predictions afterwards. So let's look at this. They say, Cosmetic Design says, people are going to be tired of greenwashing. What do you think of that, Valerie?
I think people are already getting tired of it. They're tired of brands BSing them. They're tired of people saying recyclable when the reality is it probably is never going to be recycled. They're tired of the sustainability claims and people not putting proof behind it and backing it. Yeah. So I think people will just get more tired of it.
You know, Valerie, I think that you are too educated. You suffer from the curse of knowledge. And I think most people are just going to continue to fall for greenwashing. And it's going to grow because you're too close to the industry. I think most people see, you know, they see the word aloe on a shampoo and they're like, oh, aloe shampoo. It's definitely better than this chemically one. Even though, you know, they're just not steeped into it like you are. So I predict greenwashing will be alive and well, and it's going to be so until maybe a regulator clamps down on somebody or somebody gets sued or something and they lose. But until then, greenwashing is going to keep going because it works. People buy products because of it.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
I've been in the industry and am too cynical. I don't know. But all right, another prediction they said was neurocosmetics. That's going to be a thing.
This is a big one that we're talking about. And this has to do with the sensory characteristics, the emotional thought processes, sure, things happening in your brain during the mm-hmm. cosmetics usage experience. And in fact, while Perry was traveling and speaking near my hometown, I actually got to moderate a talk on behalf of Perry about neurocosmetics with a wonderful right. researcher from South America. And it's a really, I would say, is it going to impact consumers? I don't think so. But at least on our end of the industry, I think we're going to hear a lot more about this.
Yeah, I think marketers were certainly, they're always looking for stories, and this is certainly a story that has a little science behind it, and if they can translate, I don't think neurocosmetics is like consumer-friendly language, so that might be a tough sell, you know, but for like the nerdy cosmetic consumer, they might sort of find it interesting, so you might see more marketing stories about that. It's a hard story to convert to consumers, I guess.
Definitely.
So also a prediction, they said more sensory experiences you can expect from your beauty products.
Well, I feel like we're circling back in time a little bit because sure. I feel like when I hear this, this is K-beauty all over again. To me, K-beauty was about different textures, different feelings, different sounds in using a product. And of course, you know, interesting ingredients as well, different formats. But sure. I feel like we're just circling back in time a little bit. I personally don't want a sensory experience from a beauty product, but I actually think I have a tactile. I'm pretty sure if I were a kid born today, I'd be diagnosed with a tactile disorder. But
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I would like less sensory experiences.
Yes. So this trend doesn't really appeal to you. I wonder, like, how much more sensory can you put into a beauty product? Like,
well, okay, tingling, yeah. Warming, is that what we're talking about?
I know, that's been done. Like, what are the more can you do? Like, you can't, I don't know, can your shampoo play the radio or something? I don't know, there's like, I think there's only so much you can do with sensory, and it's tough to overcome fragrance, that's number one. Number two is what does it look like? And number three, what does it feel like? And like you said, that heating and cooling stuff has kind of been done. And I don't know. I don't know if there's more sensory experiences you can have. But we'll see. The marketers of the world think so. Another trend they think is that there's going to be more focus on the classics and dependable colors.
I definitely agree with this because I think natural is back. Of course, it was back a few years ago as well when we had the more matte lipsticks and matte eyeshadows and matte colors. But I think, at least especially in the nail world, we're seeing this shift back to classic dependable shades. And I really am excited for that.
But I also tend to see it, like, certainly in the nail world, like people have more funky designs in their nails. Before it used to just be like a one color, and now we've got split colors. We have artistry on nails.
Bejeweled nails. I see that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that goes away. I mean, it's okay. Neat to see, but it's like, I just imagine how like heavy the nails are or how they get caught in things. Like even if you just have a little hangnail that gets caught, how could you wash your hair with a bejeweled nail?
That's a good question, but it's nice for hair exfoliation maybe.
Oh my gosh, you're breaking all your, it's a free haircut.
Right, free haircut. All right, two more of these. Number five is there's going to be more personalization.
Nah. I mean, people say they want it, but I think it's really hard to pull off in beauty because the reality is, and by the way, it's not like brands haven't tried to do this for decades, but, you know, it's hard to prove a tactile or obvious difference by adding an ingredient to a product to personalize it, because people want to feel a difference. And the reality is you just can't feel most ingredients. They may be doing something that you're not able to tactilely feel or observe. So then they get disappointed. And also,
or it's something that happens over time. And so like you use it and, oh, this is going to help you 6 weeks from now. And you're like, really? Did it help you or not? Who knows what you look like 6 weeks ago, you know? Like it's hard to, it's a hard claim to support. And I could see people getting something that's personalized and then, you know, they forget it and they're at somebody's house and they use a product and they're like, oh, this seems the same. So it's they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, so I would just say skip the personalization stuff. Just find a product you love. There's plenty out there.
Yeah, I think as far as a trend goes, there's just not a story. There's not more story to tell there. People are going to keep saying, oh, it's personalized. It's personalized. Like, consumers aren't going to fall for that, I think. All right, and finally, people are going to continue to look for deals.
I totally agree with this. The economy is not in great shape. Allegedly, you know, as of reports to, you know, yesterday or today, inflation's on the rebound, but very incremental. So I think people are going to continue to look for deals because it's going to continue to be a tight economy.
You know, it's interesting. I was looking at my podcast feed and I saw the description for the Fat Mascara podcast, another beauty podcast in our space.
That takes commercials.
Well, they do take commercials.
It's like 4 minutes of ads each episode.
No, they do. They do a good job. But they're mostly interview stuff, and you know, they're from they were in the beauty magazine world, and they do an excellent job of covering products and such from that angle. But I saw on there they did a segment, and I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. But they said Google is making it a lot easier for consumers to find dupes of products, and for anyone who doesn't know, that the term dupe refers to a less expensive product that is supposed to duplicate the performance of a more expensive product. So I'll have to listen on that. But certainly consumers are looking for dupes. And I'll see on DIY YouTube, kind of make your own cosmetics. Or it's like how you dupe, you know, something from The Ordinary or something from, you know, Kiehl's or something like that. Of course, it's rewarding and it's fun, and if that's a hobby, and it's also gratifying that you could make something for yourself and for your family and friends, that's great. But if you're just looking, thinking you're going to make something and save money,
let me tell you a story about one of our listeners, a big supporter of ours, a patron on Patreon. She found this recipe I had on my website. I do sell products, ingredients for people to make their own products.
Wait, that's simply-ingredients.com?
That's what it is. She found this recipe for a vitamin C brightening serum. And she made it. And I didn't know any of this was happening, right? Because I'm not checking orders. I have other people who do that kind of stuff. And she wrote in and said, P.S., I made this serum. And boy, my skin has been transformed.
Oh, well, that's
now,
excellent.
Now, I don't know if she saved money versus buying a commercially available product. I would like to think so, but that was really nice to hear. So sometimes it can work.
Well, I will backtrack a little bit on that, because if you're buying something from Dr. Perricone, which is like $500 for 2 ounces, then you could save money.
Exactly,
Right, I was thinking more like, you know, if you're getting, you know, the $50 Olay thing and you're going to try to dupe that. You know,
Yeah. All right.
That's hard.
Well, we got off the rails here, but I think there are some other predictions from other beauty websites that are more consumer specific versus our neck of the woods specific.
Right. We've already talked about sustainability, but they say that scalp care is going to be a big thing. What do you think about scalp care?
It's already really big. And one thing that really sticks my craw is when people say skinification of scalp.
Skinification.
Hi, folks. It's already skin. Please stop using that term. Like, if you want to inflame me, that's one of 5 things you could say to me. All right. But I do agree.
If you want to inflame her scalp, just put on some cinnamon. Okay.
I have a cinnamon allergy, so he's poking fun at me. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I do agree scalp care is going to continue to remain strong. scalp and hair are having this big renaissance right now because how many face creams can you push, right? So companies are just moving on to different areas. So I think we're going to see a lot in scalp care coming because it really is an important part of your hair's hair growth journey.
Sure. They say microbiome-focused products will grow. We've heard a lot about microbiome. I don't know. It seems stale to me now. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that I think we've heard a lot about it.
Okay.
I don't think consumers have heard a lot about it or really understand it. And I was having a conversation with someone today about it, also a Beauty Brains listener. But I think people in a year will definitely know what the microbiome is. Will they fully understand how they're impacted by it or how they can fix it? I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg for that. But I think we will see a lot of microbiome-focused launches in this next year.
That's interesting because, yeah, I must have the curse of knowledge because microbiome seems like 10 years old to me. You know?
Well, for us, it is.
Right.
But in the consumer world, it's brand new. Yeah. So we're way advanced, Perry.
We are. Let's talk about some of the new trends they say. They said there's going to be advanced skin care science. Expect newer science-led technologies like cell senescence, stem cells, and epigenetics to feature in skincare ingredients.
I mean, there's always new crap, right? So who knows if it will actually do anything.
Well, they need new stories, yeah.
Yeah.
I look at these things. These things have all been around. I don't think anybody's come up with the good story for them yet that resonates with consumers, but they'll keep trying. Biotechnology and biofermentation.
You know, it's interesting because we've used biotechnology and fermentation for a very long time already, but I think it's like upcycled. You know, once upcycled became a point of interest, everyone started advertising, oh, we upcycle. And it's like, well, you actually always use that feedstock as a source. You now just have a marketing point. The one thing, though, I think that will remain to be seen, a lot of people think biotechnology or fermentation is more sustainable than alternative methods for procuring a similar or same material. And I honestly don't think that's the case.
You know, I kind of thought it was, and then I was on a panel with somebody. I said, oh, yeah, biofermentation, it takes less land, you know? And they're like, well, no, you still have to grow the sugar cane or stuff to feed them. So you're still taking up agricultural land, but you're just making it in these vats. So, yeah, it's not actually less land taken up.
Exactly.
So another one, they say there's going to be an expansion in hair care. I would be surprised there. I mean, everybody already uses hair care products, right? How many more hair care products can you use?
Well, the specific trend was that the hair care sector will focus on plant-based, vegan-friendly proteins and keratins. We already have dozens and dozens of options of these guys. And I think people might be talking about them, but they're nothing new, right? We've talked about proteins on the show before. You think they're junk. Right. I think they're awesome.
I don't think they're junk. I think they're overplayed.
Well, they're going to be overplayed in 2024.
They are overplayed. And vegan always, I found it amusing in hair care because I like, it's all vegan already. It's always been vegan. Like
almost.
Well, we stopped using animal-derived products when the mad cow scare happened in the late 1990s.
This is true.
And so the industry is like, okay, no more animal-derived thing. And so, okay, I guess, okay, beeswax is, you know, and...
Well, some xanthan gums aren't vegan, although you don't use a whole lot of xanthan gum in hair care. Some surfactants are still tallow-derived, but even those are getting phased out. They're not really used anymore.
Right. Yeah, like sulfates and your standard ones, they're all coming from, you know, palm or petroleum or something, you know.
Exactly.
Or coconuts. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Okay, regulatory impact. Regulatory. So they're going to say a big impact on Mocra in the U.S.
Sorry. No, if... Okay, MOCRA, if you guys don't know it, is the Modernization of Cosmetic Regulation Act in the U.S. And people think this is going to hurt my business. It's going to be so hard to comply. It literally is just making legal all the things that were supposed to be done anyway.
Right.
And it really, honestly, for the most part, is a reporting requirement. So you have to report who manufactures your products and that your manufacturer has to report that they make for you. You also have to document adverse events. If someone has a rash, something like that from your product, you were supposed to be doing that anyway. And you're also supposed to make sure your products are safe. Guess what? You were supposed to be doing that anyway. So people are all, you know, in a tizzy about it when really it's like, it's kind of nothing new.
And I think you're speaking it from this the standpoint of the cosmetic maker. I look at it from the standpoint of the consumer. This is going to have exactly zero impact on the consumer. The products are not going to really be different. They're not going to be safer. They're going to use all the same ingredients. It's just going to, this is all pretend, theater of regulation. The products were already safe. This isn't going to do anything to make them safer. Except maybe if you're buying from, you know, small brands that were made in somebody's kitchen, you know, they have to sort of go to the standards of the big companies now. So.
Well, those people would be exempt because there's a $1 million annual threshold.
Oh, that's
threshold.
Right. So, yeah. So there's not even that safety. So.
See? No changes.
I don't know. No changes. Well, there's one more here. Instant effect hair care. They say it's similar to instant effect skincare. There's going to be a rise in instant effect hair care? What is like... Okay, use a shampoo, it instantly foams, so that's an effect, right?
This
so
one, what, I hope you guys, effect? I hope you guys heard my sigh. The reason hair care, the reason I went into hair care is because with skin care, aside from your skin feeling moisturized, you really can't tell if it's working. You have to wait for these ingredients to work and do their job. And what I fell in love with about hair care is that your hair either looks good or it doesn't. It is an instantaneous effect. It's not something you have to wait a long time to happen. Like the product has to work and do what you want it to do right away. It doesn't matter if it's cleansing, conditioning, treating, styling. It's all instant. And so this is just one other marketing scam that's been concocted by people. And it drives me daggone nuts.
Well, we'll see if this is an actual building trend next year. All right, speaking of trends next year, let's talk about the trends that we saw, what we predicted last year. Okay, our prediction, we did three predictions. We did a general trend, we did an ingredient that we predicted was going to be big, and we did a celebrity launch. So, last year, my predictions were that there were going to be brands that were canceled because they were not sustainable enough. I can't think of any brand that has had that problem. Although, this year... Recently, Unilever is getting investigated in Europe. They're getting investigated for greenwashing and for making exaggerated claims. And so we'll see how that shakes out. But if a company like Unilever gets said that, oh, they're too much greenwashing, I think that could have a huge impact on the rest of the natural claims in the cosmetic industry.
It's definitely going to bring some attention. My general trend was that we'd see the rise of allergy-free, which I think we have seen a little bit of it.
More than like the year before? Like,
And you know what? I'm going to save this for future trends, but I'm going to double down on this.
You're doubling down. Okay.
I'm doubling down.
All right. My ingredient, also, I said I thought mushroom was going to be big in 2023.
I think it had a big year, and it's good.
Oh, did it?
I think so. Yeah, a lot of people are showing interest in it.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm going to say there was a win, and I said amodimethicone. I don't think there was any extra amodimethicone love this year, was there?
Well, I did write in Happy Magazine in my monthly column called Dear Valerie. Sure. I did write about one amodimethicone that I think is pretty cool. It's actually made from 99% recycled silicone material and only 1% new silicone material. But it's reacted with a sugar molecule to help improve its biocharacteristics. And I plugged it in the article because I think it's a really neat material.
Well, okay. I'll give myself a half win on that one, too. And I also your ingredient was ferments.
Anything fermented. And this goes along with the whole biotech, bio-fermented thing. I think there's been at least some talk, you know, amongst brands about this. So I also will give myself a point.
Okay. And finally, celebrity launch. I said The Rock and Anna Kendrick would also be launching. I don't think they did either. All right.
No.
I'll lose on that one.
Yeah, and I said Khloe Kardashian, but I don't think she launched anything in beauty, did she?
Yeah, not that I saw either.
I know she is a Nurtech sponsor, but I don't think that's like her launch, right? But I think that was her big thing this year.
Proud of that. Okay. Well, do you have a general trend prediction for next year?
I am still going to double down on allergy-free. And allergy-free could include, you know, maybe people who have a sensitivity to coconut. Maybe it's, you know, fragrances, essential oils, botanical extracts, you know, things where people have really sensitive skin. I think we're going to see a lot of activity in that space.
I predict that the industry is going to be overrun with AI-generated content and brands. And we're going to see the first ever AI spokesperson for a brand. That's my prediction.
I don't like it one bit.
I know you don't, but I think it's coming. That's my 2024.
Well, I hope the brand who does that is canceled.
We'll see. All right. Do you have a hot new ingredient that you think, or an ingredient that you think is going to be hot next year?
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough call. I would like to say glycolipids. You may also see them on your ingredient list as rhamnolipids or sulforolipids, but they are a product of biotechnology. And what's really cool about them is they have a lot of anti-acne activity, a lot of anti-dandruff activity. Of course, we're not allowed to talk about it. We use them in a product, but I think more and more brands will be using them and you'll start to notice them more.
Okay, we'll see about that next year, I think.
And so actually, can I add a second trend?
Along with that,
brands will start to use or be more ovaries on the outside forward, if you will, about making claims, but using ingredients that deliver claims. Does that make sense? So a brand will use salicylic acid and instead will say, oh, it's a BHA. And so they can...
Sure. Did you just say ovaries on the outside?
Yeah. That's from the show Family Guy, where Peter's like, oh, Lois, you're wearing your ovaries on the outside, or someone's wearing their ovaries on the outside today. And it just means like you're being very bold.
Oh. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Funny show. I love the show, too. I had never heard the trend, but okay. So your ovaries on the outside is...
Brands are going to use ingredients that have some claims behind them. So, for example, salicylic acid for acne or anti-dandruff. Yeah. But they're not going to claim salicylic acid to avoid being a drug product. They're just going to say a BHA shampoo. Something like that.
Sure, maybe they'll call it an active ingredient, perhaps.
right. And glycolipids for anti-dandruff, something like that. I think brands will do that as a general trend with my trending hot new ingredient.
Okay. Well, I'm going to predict that polyphenols will finally get their day in the sun in 2024. They've been ignored for so long. Polyphenols, it's going to be a hot new skin ingredient. That's my prediction.
Well, don't people use ingredients high in polyphenols already, or are they just not talking about them?
No, I think it's. I don't think it's talked about, right? They just, it's antioxidants and stuff. I just think there's going to be a big launch with polyphenols, you know, because peptides have already been done, right? Although I could see a new peptide. They're always finding new peptides. Oh, here's my ingredient trend. I think there's going to be the first... AI discovered new peptide for skincare.
I bet you. Yeah. So you're saying it is a glamour antioxidant, polyphenol, and an AI generated ingredient of sorts.
Yeah, there you go. Those are my two predictions for ingredients.
Oh, geez. Well, let's talk celebrities. Madonna just launched a new line, which obvious. I can't believe we didn't guess that last year. So who do we think in 2024? Is going to come out with something. My guess is Taylor Swift.
Well, you took my guess. I was going to say Taylor.
Okay. What if her and Travis Kelce did like a co-branded line?
Oh, see, my male one was going to be Travis Kelce come out with the line. There you go.
Okay, well, we can't pick the same one, so now we have to pick different ones.
Okay, so you're picking. Okay, you can have that. You can have those. You can have.
I can have Taylor. Okay.
Actually, What do you think? Does that romance last through 2024, or will it be done?
Oh my gosh, it's like so hard to tell. America's like swept up in it. I'm gonna say it'll be done. He'll have his heart broken.
Oh no, I think Taylor's ready to settle down. She just crossed living 1 billion seconds, which happens when you're 32 and a half years old. But so
I missed that milestone.
Oh darn. Well, you know, my one friend, she's going to be celebrating her 20,000th day of living on the 23rd this year. So I'll have to.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Do you know how many days you've been living?
No.
No, no.
Too many.
Sometimes. I have a spreadsheet I keep track of. Anyway, okay. All right. So you're saying Taylor Swift. Okay, Valerie, you know what my prediction is? You know that show Wednesday on Netflix? The old Addams Family? I think Jenna Ortega is going to be the next celebrity who launches in 2024.
You're going to pick her over Taylor Swift?
No, I mean, I would have picked Taylor Swift, but you already took her. So I'm going to say, okay, Jenna Ortega.
All right, so, all right.
All right, do you have a male line going to come up?
Joe right. Jonas.
Joe Jonas.
Of the Jonas Brothers.
Of the Jonas Brothers. Okay, there's that new movie coming out, what do you call it? The Charlie Candy Factory one?
Oh, yes. You know. Yeah, Charlie Willy Wonka.
The Charlemagne guy.
Yeah, Timothy Charlemagne.
My safe bet is he's going to come out with a line. But
Timothy
Chavez
or something like that, right?
I think it's Charlemagne or something, yeah.
That guy. We know who we're talking about.
We are so up at, yeah. Okay, that guy. Now, here is my ovaries on the outside guess.
Okay.
Kelsey Grammer.
Wow. Is it a line for geriatrics?
I just think it's, you know, going to be a, yeah. Okay, it's a stretch. That's all I'm saying. It's a stretch.
Well, it's a bold prediction, Perry. We'll see. And we will see what happens in 2024. Well, now that we had some fun with predictions, let's head over to our beauty science questions. Our first question comes to us from Jamie. Hello, Beauty Brains. With so many brands on the market for skincare, what are your thoughts when brands use the terms pharmaceutical grade or medical grade in reference to the quality of ingredients? In my opinion, it doesn't really mean anything. It's more of a term that people use so consumers will buy their stuff. The only thought I would have would be if a brand has a drug claim associated with it. Thanks for the great content, Jamie.
And Jamie is from Patreon, so thank you for supporting us on Patreon, Jamie. Boy, we've talked about pharmaceutical grade before, and the reality is, in skincare, these are just marketing terms. It does not reflect anything different about the products. Even medical grade, I mean, there's no... I mean, there's not, unless it's a drug, then it's a drug, and it's medicine. But if it's a cosmetic, whether it's called pharmaceutical grade or medical grade, it's really no different than what you can get at, you know, CVS or Walgreens or Boots for you folks on the other side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, it just doesn't mean a lot. And you're exactly right, Jamie. It's just something brands say so that you think there's more control, more thought, more technical, scientific input into making the product. And the reality is we all have the same manufacturing standards. So nothing special.
And no matter how many times they scream about it on TikTok or somebody's Instagram or something, it's still not going to make it true. It's just not true. It's not to say that these products are not good. They're good products. I'm sure they're formulated well. They're just not better.
Not at all.
All right, we have an audio question all the way from Ireland. Hannah.
Hi, Valerie and Perry. This is Hannah from Dublin in Ireland. I've been listening to the podcast a couple of years and just want to say thanks to you both for all the questions you've answered. What I wanted to ask about was the Hello Sunday SPF 50 Mineral Eye Cream. So I really like this. I purchased it a couple of months ago. I like to just use a finger to dab it under my eyes. Something happened where a couple of weeks after purchasing this, It started to smell like feet is the best description I can give it, or cheese, I guess. Kind of a feety, cheesy smell. And the spout on it is kind of like long, thin, almost like a needle. So it doesn't seem like much air can get into it. I store this with the lid on, and I store it the same way I store all my other makeup. So I'm just curious why you think it may have developed this kind of cheesy smell. And also, you know, if I can kind of get past the smell, is it working? Can I trust that the SPF is doing its thing now that it has gone through whatever process is causing it to give off that odour? All right, that's it from me. Thanks so much, Valerie and Perry. Bye.
Wow, Hannah, a cheesy smelling product. Valerie, have you ever had of a cheesy smelling product?
Not a product that was good enough to put on skin. Usually those are the products you don't want to use.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you smell like a product that has tea tree oil in it, and that's a kind of a strong smell, but those are still okay to use. But
it's not stinky cheese or feet.
Stinky feet or cheese, that is most likely, in my experience, that's mostly some sort of microbial contamination, probably a bacterial contamination.
I agree with you for sure. These bacteria, when they are basically eating the things in your food, some of these compounds that they put off, basically like bacteria poop, just have a really unpleasant odor.
Yeah. Bacteria is what causes underarms to smell kind of funky. Because not the bacteria themselves, they don't smell, but what they produce smells. And some of the things that might be going on in your product right now, in your sunscreen, is isovaleric acid, the production of that.
In fact, that's a compound in the flavor industry and fragrance industry that's sometimes added to fragrances to intentionally give them not a feet or cheese smell, but to add a little bit of touch to them.
So, if I'm eating, Velveeta cheese, do you think they dope it up with a little isovaleric acid?
No, they just put some of the 50 SPF eye cream in it. Oh. Just kidding.
Whoa. Well, that is a compound that's created by Staphylococcus epidermis, which is something that can get into cosmetics. So, yeah, it might be coming from that.
Butyric acid is another one. Yep.
Yeah.
I taught high school chemistry for 1 year. It was so much fun. We actually synthesized butyric acid in the lab, and it was awful.
Yeah. I remember organic chemistry. There was a lot of smells in organic chemistry.
Awful, but memorable, for sure.
Sure. There you go. Now, there are some other things. Ammonia could be caused. Some of these short chain fatty acids could be causing this odor. But I think the main thing is that there is bacterial contamination probably in this product. And as far as whether it works or not, what do you think on that, Valerie?
Well, I'm sure it still has some SPF protection to it. However, given it is to be put near your eyes, I would not use this anymore, and I would actually report it to maybe a governmental agency or even the brand to have this addressed immediately, because let's say this is a staph bacteria, you could get a staph infection in your eye and even experience blindness in an extreme case. So I just don't think it's worth messing with. If it smelled fine and then has not smelled fine, something's really wrong.
Yeah, and the fact that it has a small opening doesn't matter that much. It's a gigantic opening for bacteria.
Yeah.
Even if it's small for us.
Yeah. Well, our next question comes to us from Felix. It's an audio question.
So recently I've noticed a trend, especially with teens and young adults, that feels wrong. Would love to hear your thoughts about it. I keep seeing people using the Ordinary glycolic toner as their sole deodorant. They say it kills odor-causing bacteria and helps with underarm darkening. I know glycolic acid exfoliates and would get rid of pigmented cells, so I get where they get to that conclusion, but wouldn't the exfoliated skin just be extra reactive to the friction, making the darkening worse? Does it even do anything for the bacteria? Thank you for answering yet another question of mine. Y'all are amazing. Felix.
P.S. AI voice is okay with me. Sorry, Valerie. So if you didn't notice, this voice from Felix was AI generated because he said it was okay.
He requested him. It. He did. Yes, and I will not forgive him for that. I'm just kidding.
Well, but we will answer his question, though.
Wow, what a stinky episode we have, huh?
Yeah, we go from stinky cheese to underarm deodorants, glycolic toners. Now I wonder, like, ordinary products are cheap, but they're not cheaper than, like, a deodorant stick, right? I mean, why would people do this?
It's an interesting choice, and this actually came from a TikTok trend, unfortunately, but even more unfortunately, they're not wrong.
Oh, really?
They are not wrong. There is literature about the use of low pH emulsions, low pH ingredients, such like mandelic acid or glycolic acid, for reducing the pH of the skin, which in turn inhibits the ability of the bacteria to metabolize the sweat on your skin. And so therefore the odor is reduced. And in fact, I hate to admit it, this is exactly what the Lumi technology is based on. You know, the Lumi cream and deodorant, the one that we were, you know, crapping on for a long time, and then I tried it, and now I can't get off of it.
Now you're a loom head, or what did they call themselves, loomies?
I've been illumined. That's what happened. And anyway, so they rely on mandelic acid, which is an alpha hydroxy acid, just like glycolic acid. So what's happening is your pH is being altered, and this low pH environment is really preventing the bacteria from doing what they do. There was one study out of Germany in 2015. They looked at reduction of body odor in older people. So maybe Kelsey Grammer will come out with an underarm deodorant
line.
There
you go.
But they did find that most specifically at a pH of 4, it significantly reduced underarm odor at just 8 hours and 24 hours after treatment. A pH 5.8 had no effect, and a pH of 5 was pretty good too. So this was a really interesting, and maybe they're, you know, taking from this. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Also in 2021, shikimic acid, which is not an, I think it's an alpha hydroxy acid, but anyway, shikimic acid is a very interesting acid that I've looked at for other applications. But star anise is a big producer of the spice, is a big producer of shikimic acid. And they found that a 5% solution of shikimic acid in water has a pH of 3, and it has a similar exfoliating effect compared to glycolic acid, as well as deodorizing. So the data is out there. Now, does that mean you should go put glycolic acid on your underarms?
I mean, it seems like there'd probably be some skin sensitivity issues. I could see skin irritation here, especially if the concentration is high. It doesn't seem like a great idea.
And Felix makes a great point. Wouldn't darkening get worse? Some people do have post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation from use of certain acids, and I think glycolic acid is one of them. So while it's helping with the bacteria, I probably wouldn't put something like a toner on skin, because that's meant to really penetrate into the skin.
Sure.
I would go with Lumi, and no, this is not a sponsored post. I am just, like I said, I've been illumined.
She's illuminated.
And if anyone from Lumi is listening, you can use that. Just tag me.
Because
thanks.
You're getting some good press on a top 1% podcast.
And you know what? The salted coconut scent, which makes you smell like body odor for about 20 minutes, it's growing on me.
You know, all of this deodorant talk made me think of a new male line prediction coming out.
Okay.
Imagine this. There's going to be a deodorant line from Elon Musk. It's going to sound
bad.
Musky right now.
Oh, my gosh.
If it happens, I get credit.
Do you think he would, like, hire us to do the line? I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it.
Come on. I couldn't work with him.
He's going to pay us in Teslas. All right. Our last question.
Dogecoins.
Our last question comes to us from Julia, a patron on Patreon.
Hi, Perry and Valerie and all the cats. Meow. I know we have covered this many times, but I keep seeing hairdressers on TikTok saying that drugstore shampoo and conditioner is no good and that we should all use expensive brands. I am almost positive you said that this is just marketing nonsense, but so that I can spread the word, can you explain in super simple terms if this is true or not? And she gives an example of this TikToker. I'll play some audio from that to get the claims. All right, this TikToker makes a bunch of claims. I want to also say, Julia says, thanks. And thanks for all the amazing content this year. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for being a patron. All right, here's what the TikToker claims.
One of the most common reasons I get for why people don't the price. Now I'm going to do a little girl math here for you. Yes, the products we're going to recommend are a little bit more expensive, but they are so much more concentrated. So
salon brands are so much more concentrated. All right, Valerie, what salon brands are more concentrated? What do you think there?
Well, I think there's more concentration going into the creating of them. However, from a formula standpoint, I actually had this conversation with someone earlier today.
Yeah.
The difference between like a mass market shampoo and a salon brand shampoo, they both clean. I will say that you do have a little more money per bottle in a salon brand shampoo. But at the end of the day, you're using the same ingredients, probably in the same ratios. Brand shampoos are more concentrated, I would be like, concentrated with what? At the end of the day, like all of them clean your scalp.
Right. It's just, okay, if I'm making a shampoo, I'm going to use, say, 15% sodium lauryl sulfate, all right? Now, you know, maybe sodium lauryl sarcosine.
Is that percent active?
Yeah, that is percent active.
All right, so just checking.
15%. That's like the most cleansing you'd get, 15%. The, like a regular one would be maybe 10%. So that's, and the rest is like pretty much water and all the other stuff. But your salon brand is not going to use more than 15%. Nobody, it gets, becomes too irritating. So you can't put in more concentrated detergent, right?
And it becomes a jelly blob.
Right. And a jelly blob. So no, these salon brands, it wouldn't make sense to make them more concentrated. It's not like laundry detergent, you know? All right, let's play her next claim.
Your hair is also going to feel so much cleaner for so much longer.
It says your hair will feel cleaner for longer?
I just don't know that there's evidence behind that. I have tried a lot of products, and I used to work for a salon brand. I have tried other salon brands. I've tried premium brands. I've tried mass brands. I've tried prestige brands. And I think, honestly, I think some salon brands make your hair feel dirtier faster because they're really conditioning, whereas like a really generic shampoo might just be really cleansing, right? So
right.
I just don't think this is a claim that can be supported.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a mostly false claim. The only wiggle room I'll say here is that if you've spent like $60 on a shampoo, you're going to believe that it makes your hair cleaner. Whether it does or not is not relevant, but you're going to believe that. So I could kind of see that you're going to think your hair is cleaner longer. I don't think it is. It also, if it costs so much more, maybe you're not going to use as much, right? I mean,
exactly.
If you're buying a VO5 and you dump a whole thing, you're like, oh, I didn't need two capfuls. But if you get yourself like a Kerastase or something, you're going to like do a little blob of it. You're not going to overuse it. So I could see a little bit, you use less, I guess. It's not because of how it's formulated. It's just because of how you behave. All right, next one.
So if you go from washing your hair every 1 or 2 days with your shit shampoo to then getting to go every 4 to 5 days, even a week with your good shampoo, and you're using half the amount, you will be buying that good shampoo less than when you are having to pick up.
You will be buying less shampoo? If it's that much more expensive, yeah, you're buying less.
You can't afford to buy it more. No, this one's just crazy. It's like, are you going to be buying less because a little bit goes a longer way? It's just not true. You're not going to be that cognizant of dosing, whether it's a Walmart shampoo or a premium salon shampoo. You're just not. You're going to use the amount of shampoo that is required for your hair to be clean.
Okay, next claim here.
As hairdressers, the one way it benefits us is it actually looks after your color 10 times better than a cheap shampoo does. A cheap shampoo actually will start to strip the toner or the tone from your color from the first wash.
Cheap shampoos are going to strip your hair color. Did you know that, Valerie?
Well, water strips hair color.
Right. Your shampoo is not going to make much difference. As both of them are, you know, salon brands or regular store brands, they're all going to strip your color just because you're using water.
In fact, I've actually made sulfate-free shampoos that strip color from hair more than sulfated shampoos. And we had to start development over. So it's just totally a farce. It doesn't matter where the shampoo comes from. First of all shampoos strip color.
Sure.
You can add things like our favorite amodimethicone to help prevent that from happening. It does last over multiple shampoos. But for the most part, a cheap shampoo like an expensive shampoo will strip color.
And if there's too much xanthan gum in there, that can be bad too. All right. Last claim here.
The shampoos that we're recommending aren't shit ton more expensive. They're a few pound, maybe a fiver, possibly a tenner more expensive. But what is that?
Are you really spending that much less money with a cheaper shampoo? I mean, yeah, I think you are.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a bottle of Suave for 99 cents, a Garnier $2.99.
Sure, yeah, and Pantene for like $5. That's like, yeah. I mean, meanwhile, you know, the salon brands are what? You're spending at least $20, right?
At least, and that's for a small retail size. I would say it's more like $28. We did Oribe. We bought all the Oribe products, you know, just to see what was going on, what was happening. And the cleansing conditioner, first of all, the bottles are very tiny. And I estimated that for each use, a cleansing conditioner cost me $8.60. I actually weighed the amount I used in each shower. And I think you can get something at Target for a lot cheaper that's just as good.
For sure. Wow, that's a lot. An $8 shower.
Well, that was just for the conditioner, Perry.
Oh, wow. Okay. Speaking of conditioner, I hear some music.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Hey, if you get a chance, can you go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen and leave a review, and especially if you like the show. If you don't, you know, don't worry. That's going to help other people find the show and ensure that we have a full docket of beauty questions to answer.
Speaking of questions, we love hearing other voices from real humans. If you have a question, just record it on your smartphone and email it to thebeautybrains@gmail.com.
And the Beauty Brains are on Patreon if you want to support the show and you like the fact that we don't have advertisements. And despite Valerie being a loom head, and she's certainly not an Oribe head.
I didn't want it to happen.
We do not take advertising money, but we do require some money to keep the show going. And if you want to support that, go to patreon.com/thebeautybrains and subscribe at any level. You also get a transcript of the show.
Also, don't forget to follow us on our various social media accounts. On Instagram, we're at TheBeautyBrains2018. On X, we're at TheBeautyBrains. We have a Facebook page and a TikTok.
All right, we do have a TikTok, but we get inundated with hairdressers, so we don't publish there much.
Yeah, we won't have a TikTok after this episode. Well, thanks again for listening, everyone. And remember, be brainy about your beauty.
Thanks, everyone. Kittens!